Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's happening? How are you today on this holiday Monday, Memorial Day? Tiki and Tierney, company from the Tiki and Tierney Studios. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Challenging times, as we know. Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. So if you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. And so are we. No, we don't take holidays. We'll take holidays when the earth gets, or when the world gets back to normal a little bit. But today was a day that Teek and I said, you know what? We need to be here today. And here we are, ready to make it happen, 3 hours. Teek, what's happening, buddy? How you doing today?
All's good. Happy Memorial Day to all of our listeners, to you, BT, but all our listeners as well out there. We got a beautiful day up here in the Northeast, 75 degrees. It's sunny on the day that we're honoring those military personnel who have lost their lives in our course of freedom. We say thank you for your service, and to all those active service members, thank you for your services as well. BT, I've told you the story many times about my grandfather, who died in 1967 in Vietnam. He was of the 525th Military Intelligence Group Aerial Surveillance Office, and he died in a helicopter crash in Vietnam. I think it was Binh Hoi in Vietnam on December 26, 1967.
Oh, the day after, I didn't realize it was
day after Christmas. And 2 days, 3 days before my mother's birthday. So it's obviously very somber. I didn't know him. I was 7 years or so away from being a thought at that point. But obviously, that's who I am honoring today on this Memorial Day.
Awesome. No, I know. I just didn't know the day. I know the story. You've referenced that a bunch. I know what it means to you. Listen, it's, you know, it's funny. I have a picture. It's on my Instagram account. It's buried. It's a lot of pictures ago. But when we moved into our home, and we moved in here in December of 2018.
I remember.
Yep. And as Tiki knows, we actually built it, which was a big endeavor. And, you know, so many moving parts. And there's a picture on my Instagram account where we hadn't even really, like, the backyard was no grass. I mean, it really had just moved in. But I put the flag outside. It's something I always wanted to do on my own home. And I remember saying whatever, something along the lines of writing on Instagram, Now it's home, you know. So, yeah, the flag waves at this residence every single day, and it always will. The flag, you know, it's just, it means a lot, man. And I mean, I was watching the ceremony this morning, different, of course, with the social distancing in Arlington, but everybody did a really good job amidst the somber nature of the day, somber tone to the day. But the great part, that's why you celebrate. That's why you fire up the barbecue. That's why you knock back a couple of beers. That's why you do it. No, seriously, that's why,
exactly.
You know, schools closed, because we are celebrating our freedom, and the people who made the ultimate sacrifice, they would want it to. They wouldn't want us sitting around mourning. They fought so we could do what we do. So that's what we do here, brother.
Most certainly. The unofficial, I guess it is kind of the official start of summer is today. Great day for it, too.
And how about this? The first day I don't know if you saw the headline, but when do you think the last year was where we did not have baseball on Memorial Day?
Oh,
take a guess.
I mean, it's got to be one of the world wars. So I'm going to say 42.
You ready?
Yeah.
1880.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
It didn't even stop during the World Wars.
No, World War I, World War II. No, Korean War. It kept going, kept plowing through. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
1880.
What was the cause back in 1880?
Let's see. I believe I'm guessing. I'm going to look it up now. I'm guessing that the sport just wasn't created yet. Like, yeah. I just think, like, when you look back at the calendar, it couldn't have been some sort of unrest in terms of war. There's no way.
I'm trying to think historically what was going on, just from, like, days of history, which were years and years and years ago. Like, 1880s, not ringing a bell.
That Lewis and Clark?
I know, right? Seriously.
Yeah, throw
Did
that
we discover
out
a new territory?
Exactly. Ponce de Leon getting younger? The heck was going on in 1880? Let me see. Where did I see this? I'll just give it a quick pop, and if I can't find it here, I'll move on. I thought I saw it on CBSSports.com.
That would sound like a place for habit.
Yeah, and I thought it was a headline. Maybe it's on ESPN. Hold on. No, it wasn't on ESPN either. You know what? I'll find it at some point.
Yeah,
I'll plow through it. And I'll educate everybody, including myself. I don't know exactly why there was no baseball in 1880. There was golf yesterday. Listen, this was a lot of fun. If you didn't walk away enjoying yesterday, I think you're a little predisposed to complain. You're a little predisposed to be miserable. Number one, they raised $20 million for COVID-19 research and for assistance, okay? So even if Tiger and Phil shanked every single shot, it's $20 million. So, you know, loosen up. Jen was into it. Jen and I rewound. When Tom Brady hit that shot, forget about that the shot went in. And you know how they had the DraftKings bets in real time?
Yes.
Imagine if, and I mean this to everybody, imagine if it, at that point, right before he swung that club, Charles Barkley's making fun of your golf game. It's a rough day. Imagine if DraftKings puts up, we will now give you the chance to bet to double everything in your bank account. If Tom Brady does not hold this shot out, you double your account. Who wouldn't bet that?
Of course.
The way he was playing?
Oh, he was garbage.
He was horrendous.
I got to tell you, it was frustrating, too, watching it. Because, look, you got to be a golf enthusiast just to watch golf anyways. To watch bad golf is hard.
But I still enjoyed it.
No, it was. It was enjoyable because you got to see, like, the personalities of these players. And it would be impossible on a regular PGA Tour event to create, like, artificially, not even artificially, but, like, organically and in real time, create a storyline where you could follow what guys are saying and, you know, the process of going through a round. Like, it'd be impossible because there's too many golfers, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're isolated like this, even when a guy is struggling, and it was bad, boring golf, watching Tom Brady struggle the way he did. Entertaining in a sense, but, like, bad, because it's like, dude, get the ball in the fairway, man.
I felt bad for him after a while.
I really did. That's why it was hard to watch.
Everybody's like, clowning on him. Brooks Koepka, everybody. JJ Watt.
And then Brooks Koepka puts on, you know, $100,000 birdie. No, what do you say?
Par.
If you par. $100,000 if you par. And he drops it. From the fairway, which was awesome. His mic was falling off and squirreling all over the place. I mean, that was entertaining. That part of it was entertaining. A lot of it, though, was hard to watch.
Well,
here's my take on it, BT. Uh-huh. If you just go highlight it, like, go get the highlights of what happened, it's an awesome show, right? But to watch it in real time for 2.5 hours, it was a little bit of a struggle at
Listen,
times.
it was an arduous watch at times. Now, what we did, we walked over to a friend's house for a little bit, did the whole social distancing thing. But, you know, mommy and daddy made a little mommy and daddy drink, and we walked around because we didn't want to, you know, kind of go somewhere and start reaching for somebody else's cooler. So we had a little drink in our thing. We walked over with the kids. Colton was dribbling the ball. Kinsley had some dolls and stuff. We were hanging out maybe 40 minutes or so. But in the time it took to get ready and get the kids out the door and walk about a half a mile and then actually hang out there for about 40 minutes and then make the trek back home with two little ones, it's like walking takes forever. So we recorded it. So we were able to blow through everything. Listen, sitting through that in real time, yeah, that would be a bit of a challenge. But when he hit that shot, when he birdied that from a buck 50 out, the funniest part, I had tears in my eyes. Rewound that so many times because not only did the pack in the back fall off, everybody saw that, and then of course his pants were ripped, and then of course the ball goes in. But what nobody has said, and it's the first thing I noticed, if you watch when his battery pack falls off, where does it go?
I don't know.
It goes right to the front. Oh, it absolutely had to clip it.
Oh, a groin.
There's no doubt that that didn't get something. 100%.
Well, he must be very aware of being on air, because otherwise it would have been like, oh.
I hear you. Or they just kind of picked up the ball point kind of quick.
Yeah, I hear
you. And listen, there was a lot of moments where they had to drop the audio. Guys were wet. Guys were miserable. Yep. Miserable. Peyton showed a pretty good game. Listen, here's what I take away. Tiger looks healthy. That's great for real golf. Looked, he really, really swung the club nice. Now we don't need to break that down. Tiger looked free and fluid, and that's great. Peyton is – the swing's uglier than Tom's. Like, it's a little – just looks a little stiff and whatever. But, boy, he is a really good iron player.
Yep.
And the thing that I take away from Phil – and, like, I always knew this about – and he hit the ball well, too. But listening to him, like, talk about the game, you know, when he's doing the little greenside chat with Brady. All right, listen, you know, you're going to go into the green here, the light grass, the dark grass. The ball's going to skid. It's going to decelerate. Dude, when I get near the green, I'm just looking if anybody's seeing, if I could prop the ball up a little bit. Like, am I in a depressed area? And if I am, I'm going to have to put this thing up a little bit so I can get the club under it.
That was what was illuminating.
This guy's talking physics.
Dude, we talk about, you know, the everyday golfer, because that's you and me. Like, you go out and hack it around.
Yeah,
like, all right, whatever. You
hack
know,
city.
Maybe by, like, hole 8, I've just kind of checked out. I'm
yeah, we'll hit some good
because
ones,
we're having
but
fun.
Hack city.
Yeah, exactly. Versus an actual pro. It's just the gap is astonishing and it's startling. We know this because it's the same in every sport, but golf feels like I could do that. I could hit that shot. I'm a good golfer. I'm not talking about I am, but just say like my brother, he's watching golf, or Tony Romo, he's watching golf and he's like, I could do that. I'm a good golfer. I'm a scratch guy. You can't, because there's just details. And I think that was the big takeaway for me from both Tiger and Phil, BT, is that they talked their way through this course. And they were kind of teaching you. That was what I like enjoyed, is the teaching aspect of what these guys were doing and what they were talking about, what they were saying. And, you know, Phil, after a while, he's like, Tom, you're hopeless, man.
You know, so everybody, like, poor. Like, you know,
I'm just going to try to carry us for a little while. He said, Tom, you'll figure it out eventually.
Yep. You also see, and we also knew this about Phil, but boy, you see that competitive streak. You can see how he loves to gamble, how he loves to challenge, how he loves to needle. Mickelson is he's just a beast, man. He really is a beast. And, of course, Tiger is too. But, like, Phil, like, if you said, okay, outside of the outworldly golf prowess that both Tiger and Phil possess, you watching yesterday, sitting there saying, who would you rather ride around with for 4.5 hours? I'll take Phil.
Yeah.
Really? Phil seems cool.
Even though Tiger did look pretty badass with the beard. But
he had the chin strap, too.
That's what I mean. He looked the part. He looked badass. Yeah, but I think Tiger is kind of – I think he's always been kind of shy and reserved.
I think his dad's personality kind of stifled him.
He's always dialed in, right?
Yeah.
He's just always – but if there's one good thing about this, health-wise, he was dialed in.
He looked good.
Granted, it's his home course, so he knows – every nook and cranny of that track out there, and even though they were playing way the hell back from the Tiger tees, I mean, he didn't miss a shot.
No, he
you
didn't.
Know what I mean? He hit every fairway. I mean, he was in the bunker one time on that alternate shot thing. It got a little gimmicky at times with the whole 4-iron or the 6-iron, the one club per hole.
That was nuts.
But, yeah, it was. But other than that, Tiger looked like Tiger, and that's encouraging for the rest of the regular golf season. But look, at the end of the day, it was a hard 2.5 hour watch, but it was a worthwhile watch, especially for the amount of money that they raised for charity. I know that TNT kicked in the remaining, whatever it was, $300,000,
$250,000. Nice.
To put them to $20 million, which was fantastic gestures. Four organizations, or was it five? I can't remember now. Four or five organizations are going to benefit. I think it's four, because I want to say it was like $25 million per organization. So. $5 million per organization. So it's going to be awesome for them to have been a part of this. So in all, it was worth it. It was exciting. It was fun to hear the trash talk and highlights. Real time was rough, but I think it was worthwhile.
855-212-4227. Did you like it? And would you watch something like that again? Russell Wilson had a good cameo. He popped out. Everybody started flirting with the stick. Boom, 100,000 meals here. Boom, 100,000. Tigers. I think Tiger had the worst tee shot of the group.
I think you're right.
Tiger was the one who didn't get. I believe it was 300,000. So it was three separate $100,000 contributions from Russell. Listen, it was between the rain with the microphones being blown out on occasion and playing in torrential that we've all, especially if like if you go that's like I go to Myrtle, we're not going this year, but Tiki knows I've been going to Myrtle Beach every year. God, I mean, it's like 15, it's probably more at 17 years at this, whatever it is. I mean, for years we've been going, we go every year. And, you know, we try to go right. I'd be going next week, actually. Yay, lucky me, not going. Yay. That one of the highlights of my year. Can't go. No, no, this year you can't go due to some virus that that comes from China. You cannot go and play golf with your buddies and drink and actually have fun for a week. No, you're not allowed to do that this year. Thank you. But when you go down to like Myrtle or parts of Florida or where there's just torrential, many of us have been caught in, and maybe you're too deep on the course. You're like, screw it. It's warm enough. I'm wet. I don't care. I'm playing through it. I mean, they were playing in rain that, you know, if you wake up and you have a tee time and that's what's happening outside your window, you say, I'm going back to bed. We're not playing today.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like, that's how bad the rain was.
You're right. I'm surprised they had to keep it on. Because
They were going to do it today.
Maybe. That would have been cool.
They talked about it.
It would have been a much better day for it. It'd have been beautiful outside. Maybe Tom wouldn't have been as distracted. Tom Brady, that is, wouldn't have been as distracted if there wasn't so many conditions.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, it's funny because all the post analysis of it was like, oh, his grip, you know, he's got this weak grip, but maybe he had this weak grip because, you know, his hands were wet and he was just uncomfortable. And it was like, oh my God, you're like overanalyzing this.
There's nothing else to analyze yet. So let's look at his grip. Is this the Varden grip or is this the Ben Hogan grip? Who cares? He was a good sport. I want to get into this coming up next, though, because, you know, as much as you have the fun and he bangs it in from a $150 and, you know, he duffed it around like the rest of us, worm burners and hosel shots and little flares the other way. It was pretty ugly. But boy, oh boy, I got what I wanted to see. And I mentioned this on Friday. I'll bring it back up to you just about the psyche of Brady and what it could foreshadow. I know this is going to sound nuts for this football season. I want to throw something by you. We'll do that coming up on this Memorial Day. Yep, we're working today, and we're happy to do it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. No TV today, so if we're part of your usual day on the tube, no TV today. The TV crew has the day off, so just conventional radio affiliates across the country, radio.com, CBSSportsRadio.com. Ryan Hollins, hour number two. We'll get to the approved playoff plan for the NHL. What the NBA is staring at, and whether or not a championship, because now athletes are chiming in, a championship in all the sports this year, would it mean more or less? You might be surprised with some of the takes of some of the athletes. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on this Memorial Day Monday here on Tiki and Tierney. Our number is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. GEICO's introduced the GEICO Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. All right, inbounds, out of bounds coming up next here. You know, just a thought, you know, whether it's a charitable endeavor or, you know, not for charity. And there's, you could always tie some element into charity. So I guess it could always have that. And really, to probably sell it, you probably need it. Otherwise, people might take it for greed, gluttony. But I don't know why we can't do this more often. Maybe not to this scale, but like, why not? You know, why can't we now have Rory? I know it wouldn't quite be the juice of Tiger and Phil. I get that. But, you know, get Justin Thomas involved. He's got a good personality. Get Brooks Koepka out there with Steph Curry. And, you know, have Ricky Fowler play with Michael Jordan.
Yeah, no, I think that would be the challenge, though, BT, is finding the right personalities. Right? It's one thing to have the good golfers, because, I mean, that goes without saying. The PGA guys, I mean. Mm-hmm. It's the other side to find the celebrities that have, you know, I don't know if we even use this anymore, but remember the old Q score?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
They have the big enough Q score that even if you're not a fan of whatever team they played for, you know who they are and you're a fan. Like, you have an interest in them. So there are more than enough to do it. You just got to make sure they're also pretty decent golfers. Even though if they're horrible, it probably wouldn't be that bad either. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we might start seeing more of this, BT. Maybe, you know, scaled back and, you know, possibly not live so that we don't get caught in these, like, these droning moments, you know what I mean? But possibly, I mean, I would watch something like this again if it was different characters. Probably not the whole thing like I did yesterday, but parts of it for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think that Brady, I wonder if this newfound openness is going to continue during the NFL season. You know, he is
interesting.
He's really having fun on Twitter. And by the way, Eli Manning now suddenly tweets like a maniac.
He doesn't stop.
I
followed him, but I haven't followed him over the weekend.
You know how many tweets he had during the event?
No. How many?
20?
Really?
Oh, he's good, though. He's good. You got to follow. Eli's good.
I am following him. Now I'm looking at him now. Wow, he does have a ton.
He went after it. I mean, he just jumped in, and then face first off the top rope. He went Jimmy Snuka, Brett Michaels. I think that.
I don't know if it's all him, though.
I think it is.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's not the kind of guy that's going to have his people tweet. Nah. He's a down-home guy. He's going to do it himself.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, the question I asked you before that, too, about the...
This isn't Eli's humor, though, by the way.
It is or it is not.
It's not. Because he's saying, like, what an awesome day. Thanks for coming along with me, Frank Red Hot, whoever that was. Time to deactivate my Twitter now. Just kidding. You're stuck with me. That's just not Eli. I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm just... Tell it like
so he's got a ghostwriter.
I don't know, maybe.
Well, what do you mean it's not? I mean, what are you implying?
Here's the thing.
Who's writing it for
him? Here's the thing. You know, my brother has never had social media until he did about a year ago. Maybe a little bit longer than that. Maybe it's 2 years ago.
Let's see what the last thing Rondé tweeted
for.
He's
very rarely on it.
Never tweets. I've never seen anything.
He never tweets. And when he does, it was like... It was a PR person who would do it. And I mean, maybe they would prove stuff by him. Like, I'm going to tweet this out. He'd be like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Like, it's just not his thing. It's never been his thing. So he had a social media. He had social media accounts, but they were rarely him. I'm just saying, I'm just reading these tweets now because I didn't see them yesterday in real time. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Well, your brother tweeted yesterday.
Did he?
What
did
he say?
Watching the match.
Well, you know he loves his golf. Watching the match and seeing Tom Brady makes you realize why we love the game. Can be having the worst round and then bomb, your little emoji work, and that little like explosion emoji, it's on. Then boom, it's on. And he got 694 likes out of it. So Rondé moved the needle a little bit. I think that... this Tom Brady's going to have to go back in hibernation, though. What we're seeing now, and I love it. It's great. It's real. It's refreshing. It's loose. It's not too serious. I don't think that this is going to be the guy who we see in Tampa. Let me just tell you why I think that real quick. I'm not saying you won't see a little bit of a different Brady at the press, you know, like post-game or maybe before the game he'll still be old. But post-game he might get a little like we see now. But I think that if you deviate too much from what you've done and who you are in terms of what got you to a certain point professionally or even personally, but if you just deviate too far like that at that stage of life.
Yeah, your process has changed.
Ooh, right? That's dangerous, don't you think?
It's very dangerous, but we don't know that it can't be successful. So in New England, we all know the Brady way. We all know the Patriot way. I guess it kind of was the Brady way also. But we all know the Patriot way. That's become the cliche up there. You say nothing, no matter what happens in a game or practice or whatever, injuries or whatever it may be, we're on to the next one. Like, we're on to whoever's next. We're on to whatever's next. We're focused on going forward. We're not really even praising people, the things that happened in the past. We're on to the next one. And it allows you in some ways to like focus. So you never get caught up talking about things that don't matter. You're always focused on what matters. And, you know, I think part of media these days, BT, is diving backwards. You know what I mean? And so I think the Patriot way has helped insulate that team for a while because they're never worried about what happened. It's always like, how can we get better? How can we move forward? And, you know, Tom Brady's been the perfect advocate for that. I mean, he's the example. And not only is he a great player, but he did things exactly how they kind of preach it. And so now that he's coming out of his shell a little bit, it could either help him because I don't know. I mean, like he just feels more empowered and more, I don't know, like, oh, I don't know, just more open, more exposed, or it could be, you know, it could mean he's more vulnerable because now he is listening to the criticism and now he is, you know, trying to play a part that he never had to play before.
Yeah, that's true.
We just don't know, but it will be interesting to follow to see if he does stay this way. I feel like I've heard more from Tom Brady in the last, I don't know, 3 months than I have in the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at least real things. Not like, we played the Bills this week and yada, yada, yada. We did what we needed to do, and I'd love to have that one pass back. But, yeah, like, he never gave opinions. Now he's given opinions and haven't shown a personality and exposing himself to – it's kind of nice, but I don't know if it'll work for him.
Yeah, I mean, it might not, you know. The other thing, too, I noticed is that – or I thought about during the broadcast here is that – and I know it was good-spirited. Guys chiming in, you know, clowning Tom Brady all over the internet. I mean, until he drilled that 150, you know, and he banged it in, he was having a rough day. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, that was humiliating. And I'm not saying that I'm certainly not saying that I would do better. That's not what I mean. But for a champion, for a guy who's hailed as a pretty good golfer, to go out there and put, I mean, maybe 10 balls in the woods at various points.
Yeah.
I mean, barely, and a couple that didn't go in barely hung on because they hit sand and the sand was wet. So the ball kind of hung up a little bit. If it was a dry day, it may have just plowed through it because it was more granular. It was less packed. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just these little banana hooks off the toe that are going out of bounds to the right. I mean, he was just walking around and he looked directionless until obviously he wasn't. And, you know, as much as everybody was laughing at him before that shot, you know, I've never hit a shot like that. You know, I mean, have you ever hit one from 150 where it just checked up and went in? No, neither have I.
No.
So, but I noticed, Teak, that a lot of people were quick to bang on him a little bit. And again, I know it's a jovial nature, but you know, in jest, there's truth. I wonder if his play declines this year, if the general sporting public will take a little strange sort of pleasure in watching his demise athletically. Because yesterday it seemed like people enjoyed throwing those digs at him.
Yeah, because he's unflappable.
He's perfect.
Exactly. No matter everything he's done, even when he's not, you still kind of like gloss over it. You move past it. They've rarely gotten out of the wild card. They've made their hay, so to speak, by being the best team in the AFC East, like dominating the AFC East, winning, you know, all of their division games. You got to win a couple on the road, then you win, you know, the easy ones at home. Really, they never lose at home. So you win all your home games, basically. You steal a few on the road, and including the three division games. All of a sudden, you're 13 wins without even thinking. You know what I mean? So it's like you get to the bye week, and then you have, you know, a home game in the divisional round, and you have the home championship game, and guess what? We're in the Super Bowl, and we know we have a good enough staff that we can, even if we're overmatched, we can game plan you and beat you, a la the Los Angeles Rams, who had an unbelievable offense that season, right? But when they kind of falter a little bit, like this year, and they lose, we still forgive them. We still say, oh, the greatest team of all time. You know, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. He's the GOAT. Like, we haven't dwelled on any of the negative around Tom Brady or the New England Patriots. But now, I think, you know, that Tom is not there anymore. He's kind of, it's like open season on him in a sense.
A little bit. That's kind of where I was going. It just seems like there's people who, and listen, forget about Tom Brady. It's just society. There's sadly, I'm not going to say a majority, but there's a fairly sizable amount of people in this world that really take pleasure in watching others struggle and deteriorate and scuffle and whatever. I've never understood that, and I never will, but there are a lot of people who do it. So, and I'm sure most of it is rooted in jealousy, of course. But the golden boy who, you know, married the supermodel, you know, looks like the prep school kid on the cover of GQ or J. Crew magazine. Yeah, perfect head of hair. Yeah, and by the way, we are starting to see a little gray in the beard, in the whiskers a little bit. You notice this?
Yeah, I did.
A little bit.
I did.
Stop dying it. That a boy, Tommy.
That's right. Keep it real. I'm keeping it real.
You know, the Michigan education, all the championships, the flawless off-the-field behavior. He's a guy that when you're that good, you know, much like Tiger when he was at the pinnacle. I think what's happened with Tiger is that he was humanized and with all the things that he brought upon himself, obviously. And I think then people, as much as some people take pleasure in trying to bring you down, it also works counter to that, where a lot of those same people then expend energy trying to elevate you back up.
Yeah.
It's an amazing look into the psychology of sports fans. But we'll see. Yesterday was a lot of fun. Again, it was tough conditions. And Peyton's got a little stick, even though that swing is a little unique. But Peyton could play. I mean, he was blistering the irons all day. He was hitting them well. Let's get the update from Ack. All right, this is a big story, perhaps. Coming up next, an NFL MVP caliber quarterback is pushing his team, you ready, to sign Antonio Brown. We'll get into that next, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. But first, here is Rich Ackerman, Ack. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. It is time to ask the pros, give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio, use the hashtag AskThePros, at CBS Sports Radio, use the hashtag AskThePros, and stick around and listen later on. Teek and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So next hour, well, I want to get into this because it's a really fascinating look at how we're going to view the ultimate, the champions of all the leagues when we return here. And there's a case to be made both sides here. You either view it as incredibly prestigious if you win the championship with these unique circumstances because, you know, it's been so hard to navigate that, you know, in some way maybe you get extra credit, if you will. The converse is, you know, it's a tricked up season and it's going to be an asterisk. And a lot of pros are weighing in. And Teek and I will have that conversation coming up in a bit. I think that'll be fun, Teek. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I agree because there's many different ways to look at it. And different, like, merits for both of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. You ready for a little Inbounds, Out of Bounds, Barber?
I am. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, so this week NFL owners will vote on whether or not to adapt the AAF's version of the onside kick. We've talked about this a little bit here. Last week it permeated the show, and rather than a traditional onside kick, which has been success rate dropping 21% to just 6 after some rules changes, teams will get 1/4 and 15 play from their own 25. But the caveat is that play will be timed, and teams can use it whether they're trailing, tied, or leading. Okay, some are now concerned the teams leading with just a few seconds left could attempt to play and run the clock out. Inbounds or out of bounds, teams leading with under a minute to play should not be allowed to attempt the new onside play.
I'm gonna say out of bounds of this, BT. If you're gonna institute some sort of rule like this, it's got to be universal. You can do it whenever. Just like if you are leading and you score a touchdown, you should also be able to try a regular onside kick. You know what I mean? It's just you can't put caveats on it and you know, circumstantial uses on plays like this. Just let it play out. Eventually, people will figure it out themselves.
I agree. I'm going to say out of bounds here as well. Now, listen, with the pass interference last year, that was a one-year trial. Mm-hmm. They didn't like it, and they took it out. So if they do it this year and teams are really exploiting that, I don't know if it's really a loophole because it's not necessarily illegal, but if it's something they want to circumvent, they could always bring it back to the committee.
Yep.
And maybe tweak it and say, okay, moving forward, under a minute, you won't be allowed. But I'm with you. It's either all in or all out. Otherwise, you become too tricked up, you know, too arena-ish. And, you know, you do. And, you know,
agreed.
Here's the thing, too. It forces you to allocate your timeouts properly, knowing, you know, we can't burn it. Listen, get the play in. You better not have disconnect between the coordinator and the quarterback. And, you know, don't burn that ridiculous timeout in the first series in the third quarter that pisses all of us off. Make sure, you're ready to go so that if this situation does transpire and a team does try to do this on 4th and 15, you got a timeout to burn to stop the clock. So I'm with you. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Get to AB. Antonio Brown, still a free agent, and ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reported this weekend that the 7-time Pro Bowler is receiving very little interest around the league. But one team that could be interested here is the Seahawks. And John Clayton reports that Russell Wilson wants the team to bring in AB. Seattle, of course, has rising star wideout DJ Metcalf, along with deep threat Tyler Lockett. But they finished ninth in the NFC in passing yards. So, you know, even with Metcalf, who really exploded a lot more than we thought, and Lockett is good, they need more. In or out, Seattle would be the best team in the West if they added Antonio Brown.
Ooh, are we talking AFC and NFC?
No, I think just the NFC West. Okay. Meaning, would they be better than the Niners? I really think it's a specific question.
Yeah, I would say out of bounds to that one. I still think it's going to be the Niners in the West. Antonio Brown is great, but, you know, Russell Wilson, I don't know how he would use a guy like that. Obviously, it would be beneficial, but I don't know if they're going to give him now, you know, 150 catches, because it's just not their MO. It's not how they've won. It's just not their style of offensive play. He'd be a great asset, but I still think the 49ers are going to be the best team out there.
I do too. I definitely think that they'd be better. And, you know, by the way, the 49ers, I mean, what are they addressing the draft again, right?
Yeah.
They
lose a position? They draft a position.
Correct. So, you know, who knows, you know, what the receiver they drafted is going to turn into. And, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be better than Antonio Brown, but if it's even comparable,
yeah,
then
talking
the 49ers.
About Brandon Ayuk.
Ayuk.
I couldn't remember his name. I was like, what's his last name?
Exactly.
I know it's Brandon, but wait, tell his last name.
I think it's A-I-Y-U-Y-K.
Yeah, exactly.
U-Y-K. It's definitely Ayuk. Good job on that team. It escaped me for a moment. But let's say that, you know, Antonio Brown's better than Ayuk, and you would imagine that he will be, but the gap isn't overwhelming. Well, you know, a nominal uptick for the addition of Antonio Brown, if Ayuk is solid at least, or a contributor, would not be enough, in my opinion, and obviously Tiki's, to elevate Seattle, which is the inferior team in totality. They're good, but the 49ers just have horses all over the map. Think about this. They upgrade their – Trent Williams is a 49er. Come on.
Okay.
I mean, hey, Joe Staley was good. Trent Williams is better.
You're right.
Staley was getting old, a little bit beat up, a little bit banged up. So, yeah, I think that they would be the second-best team. And now, they might be the second-best team and still win 11 games.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not
right.
saying they'd be 9-7 or 10-6, but no, they'd be the second-best team. Niners are still better.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, last week, former Celtics star Paul Pierce made some waves by saying LeBron wasn't in his all-time top five, and the truth isn't done shading King James. In a conversation about LeBron's big three with the Heat on ESPN's NBA Countdown, Pierce believes they should have had a little more success.
The Miami Heat, who in my eyes underachieved and were a Ray Allen shot away from only winning one championship. Let's be honest. When we saw that LeBron was going to Miami with D-Wade and Chris Bosh, did you not think they would run the table? It was like, that team, nobody can beat them. They should have been 1-4. They skated with 2 out of 4. Won 3 out of 4.
All right, so Pierce is not letting this one go. And, of course, we all remember LeBron, you know, not one, not two, really up in the ante. So we kind of put the bullseye on their back collectively. In or out, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh did underachieve in their 4 years in Miami. What do you got?
I mean, it's hard for me to say that, BT. I mean, I get what he's saying, what Paul Pierce is trying to say. But, I mean, they lost the NBA Finals to the Dallas Mavericks, and it just felt like the Mavericks, even though on paper I wouldn't have said it, but the Mavericks probably were a better team. You know, they were constructed a little bit better because they won that series, I believe, 4-2, right? I don't think it was like – I don't think it went to 7. I think it was a 6-game series. And so the same thing could be said in their last season. Who did they lose to that last year? I can't remember now. I can't remember who they
lost. You talk about Miami
Miami. When they lost the last series that LeBron was there, the last finals to the Spurs. So you know, it's one of those situations where they lost to teams that were just like really good, whether historically like the Spurs or in a season. Like it was a team of destiny for that Dallas Mavericks squad. It felt like. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to disagree. I believe there was a slight element of underachievement. And, you know, this is living in the space of probably making winning a championship a little easier sounding on the radio than it is in real life. I get that. But I look at it this way. Here's where I'm going to disagree with Tiki directly. They were better than Dallas. They were better. Now, Dallas was a good team, but I think you're right. I think it was 6 games that they won that. I know it didn't go 7.
Yeah
it wasn't 5. It was definitely. They won 4 games to 2. And Dallas that year won 57 or 58 games, if I recall. They were right below 60. So they were obviously really good. I'm not taking anything away from them. And you know that I love Rick Carlisle. You know, Dirk at that point was still, you know, he was in his early 30s. You know, but Jason Kidd was, you know, 37, 38, played a lot of minutes, played 30-something minutes a night. Jason Terry, you know, the Jet was 32, 33. You had Caron Butler. You had Sean Marion. You had a young Tyson Chandler, and he was actually really important, too. But I'm sorry. I look at that team, and I've got so much respect for the Mavericks franchise. But if Miami would have – I put it this way. If Miami would have won that one and maybe still only won two, but they would have – one of the wins would have been against Dallas, my answer would be different because I don't think they would have lost to inferior teams at that point. They were better than Dallas, and they didn't beat them. And at that point, I have to say it's a bit of an underachievement.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
I mean, they just didn't have any stars. I mean, sure, again, Dirk was, you know, 20-something points a game. You know, but again, let me see if I could, how, what did I say? How old was Kidd? 37, 38? I want to actually know the answer. He was definitely up there.
Yeah, he was.
Jason Kidd. Yeah. Jason Kidd was 37.
Yeah, wow.
37. Jason Terry, as I said, was 33. Caron Butler was in his early 30s. Sean Marion, too. And again, Chandler was in his late 20s, and it was good. Very good for that team. Great defensive player. Good rebounder, clearly. But, nah, Miami should have won. Come on. Give him the easy way out. Teague, what are you
doing? I'm not. But the last one against the Spurs, though, the fourth year that they went. I mean, Ray Allen was, I think he was 17 years in at that point.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they had some age on them at that point.
Yeah, they got there too. But I thought they should have had one more.
Well, I mean, if they would have just said, you know, we're going to experiment and put this, you know, good team together with my buddies and everything else, instead of we're going to win 18,000 championships.
You. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Brought
just
it upon
shut
themselves.
Up and go win one.
All right. The seasons look like they're coming back, but will the title mean more or less? We'll debate.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.